Bitches on Comics, the podcast geared toward making comics more welcoming to LGBTQ folks and women readers.
And me.
And Sarah.
Desi. Welcome, everyone. This is a very special Christmas episode of Bitches on Comics. Santa, you're a bitch. And it is about our favorite of all of the holiday specials. And I think really all of us can agree on one thing, and the true meaning of Christmas is found in this one classic Christmas special, the X-Men animated series, Have Yourself a Morlock Little Christmas, starring the Morlocks and the X-Men. What is a Morlock?
Oh, what isn't a Morlock? Seriously. You go and you look at the Morlocks, you're like, what is happening?
This is a full commentary on classism. The Morlocks in X-Men comics are based on The Time Machine by H.G. Wells, which is a book about time machines.
And machines of time.
And they live in this kind of utopia, but then, oh no, look, there's a seedy underbelly to that, and it's basically classism. So the Morlocks are kind of subterranean, you know, disfigured, have terrible things going on in their lives. All of the people who live on the surface world have thoughts and feelings on them that aren't...
Lots of opinions,
but don't really help them very much. That's essentially the relationship between the X-Men and the Morlocks,
which is so messed up.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Because Morlocks are just mutants, right?
Yeah,
who
totally.
Who are just so ugly.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the word that they would use.
Scare quoting ugly. Like,
somebody would use that word. I don't know if I would, but I would call them uniquely beautiful.
You would. I mean, I think they're all,
they all dress like my friends now. If you look at those old like Morlock comics and shows.
All my friends are Morlocks now.
They're all wearing hoodies and jeans that are torn and that's very fashionable. And then I'm like, oh, you're supposed to communicate that you live in a sewer and that it's poverty.
Also, the weird part is like, how do they look worse on some scale, again, scare quotes, worse than the Beast? He's literally covered in blue fur head to toe.
And yeah, I think his witticisms are what keep him afloat. Hi, I'm witty. So as you can tell, I'm overcoming. He's kind of that token character or something where he doesn't have the ability to pass, but he is so amiable to other people that...
Well, he's so eloquent for a mutant.
He can speak in such good language.
Oh, we feel more comfortable around him.
And then the Morlocks are like, we have to steal medicine to survive. And everybody's like, shut down.
That is a problem for me.
Hey, I'm upset.
I'm upset that you robbed an ambulance and almost hurt someone.
But hey, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So...
So the opening scene of this special is just so...
The singing is so funny because they're singing Fa La La La, but then you just hear Cyclops be like, Fa La 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 La.
And then... And Jubilee reads him hard and is like, Cyclops is having trouble with his voice, which I don't really know what that implies, but it's like not a good thing. So then Rogue grabs Jubilee and flies her to the top of this like 9-story Christmas tree. And Jubilee's never seen a star before. She's like emotional about getting to put this. I mean, which is fair enough. Like she got a family finally. I'm not trying to hate on Jubilee.
Yeah.
That's kind of the running theme though.
Yeah. She's kind of the underdog of this episode, really. She's just trying to have a family the whole time. Rogue is like, why don't I just fly you to the top of the tree, stupid?
Like, God.
Now I'll put this star up there for you.
And then just like 10 feet away, Wolverine is sitting with his back to them, like 3 feet from a fireplace that is
frowning.
Huge. There's only one chair, too. There are no
the
other
Wolverine
chairs.
Chair to sulk in.
This is his angry chair.
Yeah, he's very upset, staring into a fire. Hates Christmas, turns out.
Hates it.
Big ol' surprise from this guy. Cyclops calls him Grumpus, which is so cute and funny. Cyclops is really trying to get out of his terrible personality in this episode, and it's just not working.
No, because it just goes with you.
He's like, he just hates all the fun that we're having. And Jubilee is like, is it fun?
Jubilee's like, let's go shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, first, Beast decides he wants to make a beer from a poem. Yeah. Non-alcoholic, for the record. Children at home.
Yeah.
But then it explodes and...
That's not how you make that.
Red goes everywhere.
Yeah.
But also...
It's called blood.
Yeah, why are you sticking your tongue in open beakers?
This guy does it all of the time. He's like, so ridiculous. He's like, all right, look at this chemical concoction I've come up with. Now I'm going to put my tongue in it. Oh, snap, I'm covered with gray fur. Let's keep going. Now I'm covered with blue fur.
What could go wrong?
Oh, whoa, now I'm like a giant cat man.
Perfect.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in this episode, but it does happen.
I mean, it's the story of the Beast.
Yeah, it's him just being like, I should just experiment on myself some more.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to taste it. See yeah. if it's done.
I feel like they're sending some weird messages about this guy and scientific ethics, but that's a story for a different day.
So then half the episode ends up being this story that goes off of from like Jubilee going shopping. Mm-hmm. She's going gift shopping.
Yeah, at the mall for all of her fans, aka the X-Men. All of her family people who she's trying to bond with that just can't be human to her.
Yeah.
Because the X-Men don't understand. This is why I love it so much. I watched this as a little kid. I didn't celebrate Christmas really. And so I always think about being a kid having not really any understanding of Christmas and then watching the X-Men special they have no idea what the F Christmas is.
No, they have no idea.
Oh my God, these are my people. I have no idea how to celebrate Christmas and neither do they.
Yeah, Jean Grey and Gambit getting a cook-off.
To me, the best part of the entire episode is the cook-off and also the fact that Gambit tries to put thyme in one of Jean's dishes and Jean, who is a very much a white lady, is not...
She's not here for spice.
Open for spices.
Thyme, by the way.
Thyme. One of the mildest of all of the spices. And
my God,
Jean's response is to knock him across the kitchen.
Telekinetically.
With telekinesis and knock all of these pots and pans on his head.
Like a pot full of water that ostensibly is boiling falls on his head and she goes,
sorry, Gambit.
You suck. Which, you know what? Touche.
She gets really just won over on him this entire time. The two of them trying to share space in a kitchen is one of the funniest things that's ever happened on television, on Christmas television. It's just the best. In an X-Men comic.
It's beautiful, really. I think it really speaks to the tension of the holiday.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, people get pretty tense for lots of fair reasons.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny to see like these superheroes have the same sort of banal fights over time.
And it kind of helps me understand the dynamic between Jean and Gambit, where he is kind of a goofball, a little bit of a jackass, and she has no basis for a measured emotional response to any situation. She has never responded normally to anything. And so he says something like, I'm going to put some spice into this dish, and she loses her mind and goes like, Phoenix,
you will burn. And you want to do what?
So they just argue with each other through this entire episode.
About like spices and
about
dinner.
Cooking. She literally calls him swamp rat, which is kind of a slur, but okay. Ooh. Like, what's going on, Jean?
But then meanwhile, Jubilee decides the people she needs to take shopping are Storm. Solid choice.
Yeah.
And Wolverine.
Who AKA hates Christmas.
Grumpus.
Literally Grumpus.
And Grumpus, turns out, doesn't like the mall. For all of his incredible powers, it is the mall that brings Logan low.
Yeah, that was how he was defeated finally in Death of Wolverine, I remember.
I'm pretty sure. They were like, you have to go buy a tie at the mall. And he's like... I'm dead. I died. The end.
Pops the claws.
Yeah. And then he's just covered in like plastic bags and perfume spray. And it was really the part of Logan, the film, that really was like, why is there no Oscar for this?
Why isn't there a lady who just walks up, sprays perfume in his face, and almost gets gutted for no reason on a Christmas Eve by this guy who has no control of his temper and is out of his mind with rage and just, what is happening? Why did he bring Wolverine?
And he keeps being annoyed that it's still Christmas Eve.
Even though it's only like, been 30 seconds of the episode.
You just walked from one room to another. Did you think it would be a different day?
It's
and
Christmas.
Also, tomorrow is Christmas.
Step. It's still Christmas. step. Oh, Christmas again.
Then for no explained reason, they're suddenly cut to their ice skating.
Yes. That's what you do, I am told, by people who know what Christmas is and how to celebrate it in places that are not rural Missouri.
Well, they do say go buy your gifts first so you have something to hold while you're skating. I'm pretty sure is the general rule for ice skating.
And then an ambulance just flies off of a overpass right onto the ice.
Storm keeps it from crushing some people because it's Storm.
She does the only caring about people that we've seen in a long time in this show. And yeah, it's full of Morlocks and they're just trying to steal some medicine so that they can keep a kid alive, which makes Wolverine even angrier.
He's furious.
He's like, you're lying and you're stealing.
Morlocks would lie to their grandmother. Okay, racist. What's that about?
You're literally a mass murderer, Wolverine. I think you need to sit on your hands here.
And then Julie's like, what about my presents?
Yeah, it's so funny what terrible people the X-Men are through this entire episode.
like you said, it's like they read about Christmas in a magazine, and they're like, I can do this.
I know what
this
is.
I get this. So then they go into the sewers because Storm's like, what's wrong with, what do you mean there's something wrong with one of the Morlocks? Backstory.
They totally, yeah, deadbeat dad, maybe you should come and check on us sometime because Storm had taken leadership of the Morlocks.
From Callisto,
and just
who
left
lives there.
Them. Yeah, and was like, well, that's cool. You guys got this. I'm gone.
But I'm still in charge.
Then they're like, yeah, maybe you should have done something, interacted with us, checked on us sometimes. Like,
maybe.
And Storm goes, mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're going to the sewer for Christmas. And Jubilee walks down a ladder into the sewer with packages in her arms and carrying them. And Wolverine and Storm refuse to help her, even though their presence for Wolverine and Storm.
But Storm is wearing one awesome jacket.
She's just baller. She like walks right in. She knows, you know what the deal is. She knows she's going to go see her conflicting ex, Callisto.
Oh, Callisto.
So she's like, I'm going to just go ahead and stroll on in here.
I got to look good.
Callisto's like, yeah, you kind of left us high and dry. And Storm's like, God damn it, I can't love you like that, girl. We're in two different worlds. And Callisto's like, yeah, dude, you're like the one who literally stole leadership from me.
This is the worst breakup ever.
This breakup sucks. Anyway, this little boy's dying, I guess.
And then on cue, Leech is like, oh! Everyone's like, oh, right. Fuck.
There's a dying child.
We're here for a reason.
Sorry,
we were
just having some tension between us.
And then Jubilee just like wanders off and meets like a weird child.
Moppet child who is so funny.
And Jubilee's like, we need a miracle.
And she goes, what's a miracle?
No, you didn't. What's a miracle?
What is a miracle? What
and
is Christmas?
She doesn't answer. She just is like, it's something we need.
One tear. And then she goes, nothing. Says nothing, does nothing. What's a miracle? That's what I ask myself every Christmas.
And then it just like ends up being like these storylines still somewhere. Jean and Gambit are fighting over Christmas dinner.
Not answering the phone.
Not answering the phone.
Even though there's a child's life on the line.
I think Storm Rogue is with them, I think.
Yeah.
But not helping and or mediating.
Beast is just like, oh, it's cool. I brought my med kit into the sewer where I'm going to do random surgery all of a sudden on this kid because we've decided that maybe transferring Wolverine's healing factor blood into this kid will help, which does not seem like it is based in science in any way.
Wolverine's like, it's not helped some people. And someone's like, so then it has helped some. And he's like, I guess in a technical sense.
You think I don't want to help the kid?
And everyone's like, no, we didn't
we
think
don't.
You wanted to help
You've
the kid.
You've been saying Rush Limbaugh shit about these people this entire time. We don't think you want to help this kid, Wolverine. Actually, you haven't acted like you did this entire time. Just so you know, you've only said you hated Christmas this entire episode.
You said horrible things about Morlocks and about Christmas. So I don't really see how you're
yeah.
a good guy here.
When did you talk about how you wanted to help the kid? Like, this doesn't make sense.
Well, no sense.
Beast just pulls out his blood transfusion
No, no,
kit.
Storm goes and finds one.
Oh, right.
So Beast actually shows up later.
Yeah.
So Storm goes and finds a blood transfusion kit that—
We just have them.
They must.
Yeah.
What else would you have?
Yeah, for all the blood transfusions
and
you do in the sewer.
Hooks Wolverine up to Leech,
mm-hmm.
and then for like 13 seconds gives like some of Wolverine's blood, and then Wolverine gets pissed,
rips the IV out, stands up, and is like, this isn't gonna work. It's not helping. And just walks off, and everyone's like, what the hell? You didn't even try.
You're not making any effort, and you're actually about ready to kill this kid because they straight up set IVs up, and you ripped them out of your body rather than give blood to this kid.
It is wild.
Who is dying on a table in a sewer.
And that's when Beast shows up with his med bag.
I was gonna say, and that's the spirit of Christmas. But yes, that's when Beast shows up with his med bag, just like Santa Claus in the sewer.
And starts making jokes?
Yeah, he's like, what's up, everybody? How's it been? Anyway, I'm going to be here all week, so if you have any need for comedy, just go ahead and buy tickets. You can get them online, pre-sale.
Make sure you tip your waitress. This is my other gig. And then in the background, Jubilee's like still with this kid, and it's like
her broke ass Christmas tree.
It's like worse than Charlie Brown's this Christmas tree.
This is my Christmas tree. And Jubilee's like, it's no. Super not.
Inside of her head, she's just, but outside, she's like, oh, it's very nice.
That's great. But that's inside, exactly like, what they look like.
Tell me this isn't real.
This is then my question. Is that really helping this child? Because I feel like you should have told her that that's not what Christmas trees look like.
That tree is fucked, little kid. You need to go somewhere else. Then they go to the kitchen and they're eating like a weird green soup.
Yeah.
It's like a soup that's like not a color soup should be. And the little girl's like, this is my Christmas dinner. And Jubilee's like, please make it stop. This is so fucking sad and terrible.
She's like, do you want some? And Jubilee's like, no.
I'd rather die.
No, thanks. I don't want any of your food that you made in the sewer. Thanks.
Then Leech hops up. Leech is fine.
Leech is good now.
Leech is like, good, it worked. And
that's fine. We don't know what
Wolverine's
worked.
Wolverine's like, I believe in Christmas. I was like, what is it? What do you mean you believe in Christmas?
Then they're like, oh, does that mean that you're going to stay for Christmas dinner? And they're like, no.
Jubilee's face is like, God, no. Save me.
Hey, listen, I guess I do have a few packages of prepackaged food that's mostly candy. I guess we can have that. She's in like, the I
will
sewer.
Not, I will not eat your sewer food.
I will certainly not be inviting you to my house.
Yes, cut to the mansion where
two
gorgeous
gourmet dinners
are laid out. And fucking Jean is like, oh, well, we can just heat it up again later.
And Gambit says, but Gambit does not cook TV dinners. And so all of this food is going to get thrown in the trash.
They can't give it to the Morlocks. They can't serve it to the rest of the X-Men when it's cold. No, trash is the only possible solution.
And that's the spirit of Christmas.
That's it. There's no moral. There's no, like, what?
Just hear those sleigh bells ringling, ding, 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 ooh.
So, you know, this Christmas, I hope you pull your loved ones close and tell them nothing.
I hope that whenever you interact with me going forward, that everybody can understand that this is literally what I thought Christmas was whenever I was a kid. And I would watch this episode again and again. And
it is so good.
It is brilliant.
So many of them are so saccharine, so many Christmas specials. And, you know, I don't celebrate Christmas. You don't celebrate Christmas. Uh-huh. So it's like, why would I don't watch most of them. Mm-hmm. But I watched this and I was just dying.
Yeah.
The dialogue is awful. Everyone sounds tinny and
they don't
weird.
Explain anything.
Nothing makes any sense. There's like, why is this thing happening?
They torture Jubilee for wanting to be happy. They're like, oh, you wanted to have Christmas? We're going to the sewer.
Yeah, suck it, Jubilee.
She's guess what? Like, somebody's about to
can
die.
Can I keep my presents? They're like, yeah, whatever.
Absolutely. But guess what? There's an 11-year-old boy who's about to die.
So why don't you get a reality check? It's pretty amazing. Like, so you have a mansion.
Yeah.
For mutants.
Yes.
To help mutants.
Right.
It's clearly mostly empty.
Yes.
You have like 7 people living there.
Right. Yeah. So that's good. 7 is enough.
7, you know, they're like, we're not going to add anyone else.
We don't
the Morlocks
need
are like
to
in
invite.
Desperate need of help.
Yeah.
Like in debt. Like they're being so, they're so fucked. They live in a sewer.
And they were actively screwed over by the X-Men whenever Storm took leadership.
Yeah. And they're like, here's restorative justice. We'll give you some fucking packages of candy, and then we're out of here. Because you know what? You smell.
And you're super not coming into my house like that.
If you even look me directly in the eye, I will slap you.
There is no self-awareness of the classism that is rampant in this episode. No. There's no self-awareness of Jean being like the whitest white lady in the kitchen. There's like it's like every moment comes to you out of a void or something. And yeah. It's brilliant.
And then there's like this BDSM moment where Storm is like, kneel to Callisto. And you're like,
oh yeah.
What?
That's one of those things where I'm like, ooh, I ship it.
It's like, wait, what's happening?
I'm like, ooh, things are tense between these two. And then it's just like, kneel. And I'm like,
And then
what happens now?
What should she do next? Storm keep telling her.
It's fine. I wrote a fanfic about it, but we don't have to talk about it right now.
I'll just be reading it tonight. So you know what? The real spirit of Christmas is not giving a fuck about anyone.
I was like, ambulance and the ice. Stealing the medicine. Hating poor people.
The real spirit of Christmas is at least you're not a Morlock.
But have yourself a Morlock little Christmas, you hear?
Sarah, how do we support this podcast?
Well, you know what I would do if I was going to support this podcast? I would get a Patreon so that I could give money to the people who put it on. Oh. Or, you know, costs. Because there's a lot of cost whenever it comes to podcasting. I don't know if people know about that, except for all of the people in the audience who totally have their own podcast. Because we all have them these days. That's what it's like now, isn't it?
If you have questions for Bitches on Comics, or if you're a comic creator and want to send us copies of your work, please email us at bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. Gmail does not like the word bitch, so make sure you leave the I out, otherwise we won't get your email. Remember, there is no I in bitch.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/bitchesoncomics, where we have exclusive content.
I'm Essie Fleenor, and you can learn more about me at essiefleenor.com.
I'm Sarah Sentry, and you can learn more about me at www.sarahsentry.com. Music provided by Earth Control Pill, which you can find at earthcontrolpill.bandcamp.com.
Bitches on Comics is recorded and edited by Kate Warner. Learn more about Kate and her band, Churchfire, at churchfiremusic.com. Bitches on Comics is recorded in Denver, Colorado. We want to recognize the indigenous peoples who have inhabited and do inhabit this land. The Arapaho Nation, the Ute Nation, the Cheyenne Nation, and others who have been erased from our history and collective memories through colonization.